Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
Why don't you turn your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. We are going to kind of read through some stuff today. How many remember what I talked about last week? I have one in the front. Do I hear two? Three, couple, we got a couple. Hopefully you had a chance to go home. Maybe you read through some of the scriptures. Hopefully you understand. Just hold where you're at. I need to go there. Nope, 2 Corinthians. Hold 1 John, but go to 2 Corinthians. I really encourage you to pull out your phone. Get the YouVersion app. Get the Bible Hub, I think, is another one. Blue Letter Bible. There are so many Bible apps now. Get it on there so you can look at it. Don't just take my word for what I'm reading. But turn to 2 Corinthians 3. And we will start at verse 4. Then we're going to go to 1 John. But there's a line in here that just is so, again, so evident to say. Because you remember that it said that no dot shall be taken away, you know, not even the smallest, until heaven and earth pass away and all is fulfilled. And we did a deep dive into that looking, I know it was a lot, but we had to come up with a decision. Either we have to follow the law of Moses to its fullest, or the law has passed away. Claude's going to help me today preach, but if you want to help him, help me. Say yes when you get it. So what we came to the conclusion was heaven and earth had to pass away. And so I took you through really quickly the fact that there are two things that often, I think they're both actually very valid, but in the Old Testament, and I was talking to a younger person, they're like, it's a metaphor. I'm like, I know, but it's used throughout the scripture in the Old Testament. She was getting it, you know. It's not the heaven and the earth passing away. They were referring to both the rulers of the nation of Israel plus the nation of Israel is one way that they talked about heaven and earth. And the second way was the temple itself. They would say the inner holy of holies was the was heaven. And as you moved out, heaven. And then as you moved out, you went into where they called earth. And then the outer courts were sea. And so when they said the heavens and earth passed away, that was referring to AD 70 when it was destroyed. That's a whole lot. We're not going to go there, but that's what we talked about. Now look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4. It says, and we have such trust through Christ toward God. Now that we are, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. There's a lot of sufficiency in, he's made us pretty sufficient, and I think he's trying to hone that in. So he says he's made us sufficient ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. When they say letter, they're saying law. The law kills, spirit gives life. Turn to your neighbor and say, the law kills, spirit gives life. Okay, aren't you happy that you're in the law of the spirit, not in the law of Moses? Okay, keep reading. But if the ministry of death, this is what they're calling the old covenant, the ministry of death. But listen, listen how they do this. So they're basically saying, listen, that covenant, you couldn't, it led to death. You know, it was glorious in its time. And you say, how can something glorious be called death? But just read with me. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, so what was engraved on stones? The law, the Ten Commandments. So we know that they're talking about that because it says right there, and it's the ministry of death. Engraved on stones was glorious so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. How would the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Did you just actually, I want to go back there because you might not have caught that. 7 is a really long verse. I'm trying to find where I can start. We're going to read it from Right at the top of 7. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses. Do you guys remember that story at all? Anybody? Yes. He came off the mountain and his face was shining. Okay. Because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. Just remember that, passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation, which is the law again, had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what we made glorious had no glory in respect because of the glory that excels. I know that's a lot, we'll break down. But if what is a passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Did you catch that? What is passing away was glorious. What remains is that much more glorious. What is passing away? The law. This is the transition period. This is between AD 30 when Jesus died and the destruction of the temple. This was that period. And they always refer to it. This is now Paul writing, and in Hebrews, it's the same thing. What is passing away? So there's this period where the law was passing away. But what you need to really understand here is what they're saying is, listen, that was glorious in its time, but how much more glorious is what Jesus has done, right? And what he's trying to say is, listen, if that old covenant was glorious and could make literally Moses shine, shouldn't we as believers shine? Okay, we're just getting a few amens. Now, when I say shine, I'm not talking about a... Now, some people do shine, right? Have you ever seen a pregnant mom? Have you ever seen a mom that was pregnant identify another pregnant mom? They've got this radar, right? And they walk up to him like, you are glowing. Are you pregnant? And they haven't even told anybody yet, but they see this radiance on them. And I often think that's what we should look like. Not the pregnant thing necessarily, but... But I think we should and will get to a place as we grow, because the gospel is a gospel of hope. I'll try that again. The gospel is a gospel of hope. But for a long time, the gospel in churches has not been a gospel of hope. It's often been a gospel of, well, I'm glad you know the Lord because it's all about to end. And you're like, well, gee, thanks. It should be until whatever day the day is that things end. And listen, if you watch the news, I literally had to stop reading the news recently again. I slowly started to pick it up and read more and more. I was never encouraged at the end of reading the news. You would have to really be, a masochist if you like pain. Like, there's just no way you can read the news and go, man, I feel better about the day. I can't wait to go out there. I couldn't. And you know what's amazing? As soon as I stopped reading it, I had more hope. Because God's still on the throne. God can still do great things. So the gospel is supposed to be a gospel of hope. And when that hope gets inside of us, we should begin to glow with expectation that God can do great things. All right? So I just wanted to make and show you that they continually say that which was is passing away. So now let's go to 1 John. We're going to pick up. You know what I love about 1 John is this is John trying to write continually about how amazing the love of God is. And I really want to hone into the love side of things today. So in 1 John, there's two things I want to hone in on. Love is the main thing. Let's pick it up at verse 3, 1 John chapter 1. And he's saying this. He says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. That your what? Joy may be full. This is kind of a side note. It comes back around in a minute, but I don't read the news, but it's hard not to hear the news. And we prayed not this past Wednesday, the Wednesday before, we prayed a little bit into the fires in Maui. How many have heard about the fires in Maui by now? I'm sure you have. It's the worst destruction for them, but they're also saying it's one of the highest fatalities in a short period of time. It was devastating. These moments often, whether it's something like that, a hurricane, a tsunami, I don't know what it does for you, but it often kind of makes me go back to the simplicity of life. We're going to read about in a second about, you know, do not love the world. So I was watching a bit of the news. I caught a video of Maui, and literally a city is destroyed. Can't remember the name of the city. Lahana. Like, literally destroyed. Except for a church actually survived. Wasn't even touched. That's pretty cool. So you have people that all their life have worked for, I'm not saying there's anything wrong, but they work to have a home. They work to have a car. They work to be able to survive. And in North America, I wouldn't say they do it there. I looked at the homes. They're not very big. They're just small. But in North America, I look at the fact that we spend 90% of our life trying to accumulate, even as Christians. I have to watch myself sometimes because I've always got ideas and I want to get something, you know, bigger and better. And when these moments happen, I think, what in the end do we have left? We have Jesus, of course. And then I was watching something else and it took me to a small village, this video I was watching, a small village in somewhere in Africa. And as these ladies were working at a table to produce, I don't even know what, something for their livelihood that they would sell, I watched them with literally broken down shacks that they live in. And these women are laughing and fellowshipping. And I thought, is it possible in North America? We have totally missed it. Because I know for us, when something like that happens, we think, what do we have left? These ladies that are in Africa don't have anything, so they have only what was always there, which was fellowship with one another, and hopefully fellowship with the Lord. And I think, Lord, we have got to, as people, get back to where we, with each other, are more important than anything else. You know, Ryan, you know, with your Joyful series, and we talk often, we're all going, Lord, we got to get back to what is important. You know, we're trying to, how often we say, you know, we all want to get together, but we have no time for it. Why do we have no time? Because we're pursuing things that don't always equate to true happiness. And so I'm on a journey to say, Lord, I want to find time to make sure I spend it and have fellowship. And when I read this line, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. And what were they talking about? Fellowship with each other and fellowship with God. Fellowship with each other, fellowship with God, and that your joy may be full. I just encourage us as people that we would find joy and fellowship in each other. Amen. Let's keep reading verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So let me stop and just preface what I'm about to say. Anytime that I've talked with people that really get concerned, like if you are, like we can't leave the old covenant, like everything will go to pot if we leave, like the old covenant must be in place. I shared with you last week how a lot of people will split it up and they'll call it ceremonial law, sacrificial law, judicial law, and then they'll say moral law. And they want to bring in the moral law because they're afraid if you don't have the moral law, all things will go to pot, right? That's what people are afraid of. In Romans, you don't have to turn there. I think I wrote it out. I will read it for you. It's very interesting. In Romans 13:8, if you're taking notes, it says, owe no one anything except to love one another. Owe no one anything except to love one another, which means I owe you love. Because it says, owe no anything, owe nothing except to love one another. Listen though, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So the new covenant is also called the law of love. And he's basically, and we're going to read it in John, they're saying, get my Bible all wet, baptizing it. They're saying, listen, you're worried about getting rid of those 10 commandments. If you follow Jesus, you're not gonna have to worry about that because it's all fulfilled in law. Because if you truly have the love of God deep within inside of you, you're not going to steal something from your neighbor. And John's gonna be like, it's impossible. You can't say that you're part of this light and go and steal from your neighbor and say that you have love deep within you. Doesn't that seem crazy? Yes. Two, do I have three? Come on, have you ever witnessed something and you're like, that doesn't really line up, right? Like, let's say that you followed me after church. We happen to pull out the same time. And I just get done this law of love. And I just, let's love people. And as you're following behind me, somebody cuts me off and you see me shoot him the finger and I'm running on his, you know, trying to bump into him. Would that make you go, something doesn't line up here? Right? I love it when, and you know, we don't live in a day and age where we can get away from things. I love it when people take their cameras out because the people have the fish symbol on the back of the car and Jesus loves you and you see them yelling at somebody in front of them. And you know, people think that's really humorous because they're like, man, aren't your actions supposed to line up with your words? So how many would agree? Now, does that mean I'm always perfect? No. But if I just come out of preaching and that's the first thing I do, and I'm ramming somebody, and it'd be worse if I found out it was one of the people that go to the church. Did you get a new car? I didn't even know you got a new car. I'd be calling up Melissa, because she has where's Melissa Robinson? She has so many license plates memorized. I'd be like, Melissa, is this so-and-so's license plate? Oh, no, it is. I'm in trouble. So let's continue reading. Verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, right now, if you have a law mentality, you're like, I am dead because I make mistakes. Hold on. There is no law. Like that law is done. But he is trying to make a point to go, listen, if you are walking in light, your behavior should be like that. If you're walking in darkness, your behavior will be like this. Don't say that you're walking in the light, but act in the darkness. Now you're like, well, then what if I make a mistake? Well, let's read on. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Whew, we're back. Okay, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So I love it. He's just trying to show you, you need to walk pure in the light. And then he's like, listen, if you have sin, Jesus Christ has forgiven us of sin. And then he's gonna go on and talk about how we have an advocate. And he even says, listen, if you say you have no sin, you're sinning, you're lying. Because we all will make mistakes. So please understand when he's talking about this, he's not saying that you will always be perfect, but thank goodness we have an advocate called Jesus, right? Amen? Shake your head if you're following me. Okay. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Wow, it's interesting. If we say we've not sinned, we're lying and we're making him a liar. He is not in us, and his word is not in us. Now, chapter 2, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, which means he took sin for us on the cross. And it's not ours only, but for the whole world. Again, for who? Who? You know what it would have been in the Old Testament? For the Jewish people. Now it's the whole world. Aren't you thankful you live on this side of the cross? Okay, good. Now here we go. This is where I wanted to get to. Now by this we know that we know him. Now by this we know that we know him. So you know what a litmus test is? Anybody know what a litmus test is? We got one. Anybody else? We got two. It does the base and acidity. When you take that paper, you dip it in, and it'll tell you whether something's a base or acidic based on where that color scheme goes from. Red or blue, is that what it is? So it's a bit of a litmus test. And what he's saying is, by this we know that you know him. This is a litmus test. If we keep his commandments. Well, here we go again. We're back to the law. Right? What? Law of love. This is where people get tripped up. See, if you don't know the word, then you're like, well, no, you're lying to me. We have to go back to the commandments. Well, what do we read in Romans? That all, it's passed away, and that all the ones that he talks about, the moral commandments they talk about, as we read them, he says this can all be summed up in love your neighbor. And Jesus takes this a step further, and actually this is what the law of love is. He doesn't just say love your neighbor. He says love people as I have loved you. Takes it to a whole nother level. So we have to read it again, understanding when we see the word commandments, we don't go back to the law, we go to the new covenant. This is where people get messed up because they're like, no, we have to follow the law. Well, technically you can say that because the law of love supersedes the Ten Commandments. You should go to a whole nother level. Some people are looking at me with blank stares. I understand. No, I won't say that. Okay, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word truly, here we go, the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Here we go, verse 7. This is how you know. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. Now again, if you don't know the word, you're like, there we go, right back to the law. The old, nope. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. And again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. What is he saying there in the beginning? Is it the beginning of the old covenant or the new covenant? Try it again. He says, to the beginning. How did he write it? I know this again. But if we don't know the word, then what are we going to do? The old commandment is the word which they heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you. Which beginning? The beginning of the new covenant. And if you actually look in your notes, it should take you to John 13, where Jesus gives that new commandment of love. How many have little, you know, A, B, C around your footnotes? Does anybody have Bibles with footnotes? Anybody know what a footnote is? Anybody know what a Bible is? Let's start. Jesus. How many know what Jesus is? All right, we know Jesus. All right, how many know the Bible? Footnotes. Jesus is the answer. That's what we said, and you couldn't go wrong in Sunday school with Jesus. But listen, guys, if you don't understand this, you read the Bible and you could be back and forth, going back and forth, thinking, oh, is this the old covenant, the new covenant? He's talking about the beginning of the brand new covenant, the covenant that has the law of love. The law of love is simply this: love as I've shown you how to love. Okay, we're going to read one more scripture because I know that was a lot. Turn to John. Not First John, turn to regular John. Just old regular John. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want you to go there. John 8. When you begin to understand, and I'm sure, please forgive me, I'm not saying that you don't understand, and some people haven't got probably more of this than I do, but when you begin to understand this, you begin to go back and read through the Bible, and you begin to see that Jesus and Paul and anybody that wrote are trying to help you understand what this new covenant looks like played out. Okay? So that's when on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you've heard it said, but I say. So he begins, and you'll find it in James as well, where they begin to go, listen, it was said this way, but remember what I read at first? Law is death. I'll show you how death and dead law is. John 8. How many remember the story of the woman caught in adultery? How many, woman caught in adultery, they pull the woman out. Okay, let's act it out. Not act it out, but let's just talk about it. Let's not act it out. Oh, I always go back to that one, you know, youth ministry, you have moments. And I remember that one moment, I was trying to explain David dancing before them. And I said, David was in a loincloth, and in my youthfulness, which I'd probably say today without even realizing it, I'm like, you know, picture me in my underwear. And I'm like, no, don't do that. Okay, so talking about this woman, she's being brought out. They pull her out, Pharisees and Sadducees that know the law. They know the law, they know it. They want to trick Jesus here. They pull this woman out who's caught in adultery. And they actually say this, she was caught in the act. Yeah, that's awkward. I always go back to you got to remember the law. We look at the law and people say, no, we got to keep the law. So first of all, where's the guy? Why wasn't he being dragged out? So if you want to keep the law, it's going to be, you know, Jesus comes and puts everything on par. Women, men, Gentiles, Jews, we are all equal now. Aren't you thankful for that? Okay, that's huge. So they pull her out. She's caught in adultery and they're like, what are we going to do? The law says, see, they go to the law. The law says we should stone her. The law is death. So he's now caught between, well, the law, I am still, Jesus was under the law until he died on the cross and really destroyed the law. But he is living under the law. He's like, so they're like, we got him. What is he going to do? But Jesus is coming and functioning out of the law of love. So he's already making a transition and writing about a transition of what's going to happen. So how do we react? Well, most Christians, when they find out somebody's sinned, what do? We what? Condemn them, sure. What else we do? We cancel them. We throw verbal stones at them. We judge. I've just following Brian Houston from Hillsong. How many have followed anything with Brian Houston and all that's gone on? And the rock throwing has been huge. It's a case that goes back to 1970, part of this thing that they're looking at. And I was so blessed. I hardly go on Instagram, but I went on and it was the first thing. And Brian Houston was acquitted over because they said he should have done all this. He's like, I was 14 years old. Like, it was terrible. He lost his job. And he was acquitted, and he was acquitted well. What the judge spoke of said a lot of this stuff should not have even come up. Because, you know, the church throws stones. Like I said, we cancel, we judge. Now, there is a place where we should be able to speak to each other in love, but that's not often what happens. So here you have a woman, and the law says we should stone her. So Jesus does whatever Jesus does and starts drawing in the sand and writing, and everybody comes up with what they think he was writing. I've heard it said from he was actually writing people's sins out to he was writing the numbers of apartment numbers, which I don't think they had back then, but it's kind of fun to think that, you know, all the people that sinned and where they sinned, and I don't know what he was writing. But he simply said, listen, if you have not sinned, feel free to throw a stone. And now they are caught because they're like, so what do we do? Because I've sinned. So it says from the oldest to the youngest, they began to walk away. Don't you love that Jesus is still not skirting the fact that she made a mistake? But the law of love comes in and goes, we're going to operate differently to restore this woman. So everybody leaves, and I always love the fact that he is left, and he has not sinned. So he could choose to stone her. And he just says, hey, where are your accusers? She says, there's nobody here. He says, I don't accuse you or condemn you either. Go and sin no more. Claude's saying, according to the law, you needed two witnesses. See, there's people in here that know more than me. So maybe he couldn't have stoned her. But the point was, he's living in the law of love. And so what do you think happened to that woman who was about to be put to death? She walked away condemned or full of joy in life? Full of hope, full of life, full of joy, thankful. I don't know, if you're on the verge of death like that, I'm assuming that she went on and we don't know. Maybe she followed Jesus and listened to all his teachings. We don't know. But all we know is that she was on the verge of death. The law causes death. And she walked away full of hope, life, and a renewed hope. Amen? So this is what it looks like to walk in the law of love. I want to share a story and then I'll begin to close up. You guys know this story if you've been here. I shared it, I don't know what, about a half a year ago, so probably don't remember anyway. It was Bob Goff. Bob Goff is a gentleman I so enjoy reading. He's an older man. I think he's in his 60s or 70s now. Just writes about love. I know when I say that. He was 98. That's just old, elderly man. Yeah, I'm like, can I be forgiven now? So Bob Goff, when he was younger, he was in high school. He said, you know what's incredible is Bob Goff went on to become a lawyer and all these things, but he did not want to finish high school. He said he was terrible at school. So in his junior year, which would be grade 11, he decided he was going to drop out. He already had that in his mind. And there was this young man named Randy who would come to the school. He says, I don't know who this guy was. He would show up. And then we found out he actually doesn't go to school. So we thought we should not be near him. And then we found out he was actually a part of this ministry. And as soon as he got to know him, this Randy wanted to tell him about Jesus. And he's like, oh my gosh. But he said Randy had a beard. He didn't. So we thought he was pretty cool. And he had a motorcycle. So we thought that was really cool. And so, yeah, cool guy. Finally woke you up, Dorman. All it took was motorcycle. So one day when Bob finally gets in his heart to, you know, not do school anymore, he says, I'm gonna go live at Yosemite National Park. I'm gonna climb mountains and I'm gonna work. And so he had made friends with this Randy guy over time, and this Randy had never led him to the Lord or anything like that. But he said, I need to go tell Randy I'm leaving. So he stops off and he tells Randy, he says, listen, I'm going. I'm gonna leave. And he's like, where are you going? He says, I'm going to Yosemite Park. I'm going to do blah, 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 all this. And I remember I reread it today, this story. He said that Randy kind of like looked through him. He just was kind of pondering. And after Bob Goff got done telling him all that he was going to do, he said, hey, can you hold on 1 second? And so he went in and he came out and he had a backpack on. He's like, I'm with you. Let's go do it. And Bob's like, what do you mean? He's like, I'm with you. Let's do it. If you're going, I'm going. So Bob knew that Randy had a girlfriend, but he just never thought anything of it. So he's like, whatever, let's go. So they get in the car, they drive to Yosemite. While he's there, they wake up, they sleep in the road or something like that. It's just ridiculous what they do. And he starts to try to get a job, Bob. And everywhere he goes, he cannot find a job. But Randy's there and he keeps going, hey man, I'm with you. I'm staying with you. You got this. You're amazing. Anybody should hire you. And he just over and over and over and over again. So finally one day Bob goes, you know what? This isn't working out. I can't find a job. Like my dream is coming to an end. Randy doesn't say anything. He's like, man, I'm with you. Whatever. He's like, I think I'm gonna go home and finish school. He says, I'm with you, man. Let's do it. So they get in the car and they drive back. It's like 3 or 4 day trip. As they pull into the driveway, this always gets me. He pulls into the driveway. He sees Randy's girlfriend's car there. He's like, oh, she must be here visiting. You know, that's cool. So they walk through the door, and he says that there are boxes and things, and there's a half-open microwave sitting there, and there's wrapping paper. And he's like, was it Randy's birthday? Like, he's trying to figure out what's going on. He's like, who gives microwaves for birthdays? And then it dawned on him when she walked out and she said, welcome home. And it dawned on him, they had just gotten married. And they were literally on their honeymoon, didn't go anywhere, when Bob showed up to tell him the plans. And Randy, in his heart, that's why he said he was staring, because he was trying to pray. And he felt like the Lord said, whatever's gonna happen will change this man's destiny. And so Randy went back, and what he did, he didn't just grab a bag. I'm sure he said, honey, this is what's going on. Can I go? And obviously, by the way, she came back and said, welcome home. She said yes to this. he said he gave up his honeymoon in the first days of his marriage to make sure that he was safe and came back. I'm like, Lord, I don't have love like that, but I want it. And it's going to look different all the time, because he was pondering. He was listening to the Holy Spirit going, do I need to go? Because I'm sure if he listened and the Holy Spirit went, he'll be okay. He'll just like go figure things out and come back. But he felt like Holy Spirit was saying, you need to go. And that's why he kept saying to him, I'm with you. I'm with you. And Bob said, nobody ever said that to me in my life. I'm with you. And so he came back. And what do you think happened? Of course, he got to know Jesus. And Bob Goff went on to live for the Lord and do crazy things for God. Because Randy heard the Holy Spirit and had the law of love. And I'm more prone to have the law of death in those moments. Like, I'll kill you if you leave. Or, you know what, it may not show up that way. It may show up in, hey, listen, this is a dumb idea. Can I tell you all the things that are going to go wrong? Right? Just, okay, it's just me. But that's what I would do. But Holy Spirit said, no, I want you to go with him. But that secured a relationship between the two of them and between the Lord that he went on to do great things for the kingdom. And no one, we can never know until they get to heaven what might have happened on that trip, who he might have connected with if he wasn't there. And never once did he say, I told you so. This is a stupid idea. He just kept saying, man, I believe in you, whatever it takes. And I so think Jesus does that with us, doesn't he? That's why when I read John, I used to read it with, oh dear God, I am not perfect. And every time I make a mistake, I must be in darkness. And now I realize, no, I am trying to so walk in the light. But when I do make a mistake, I have an advocate with the Father. Thank you, Lord. But I'm walking in the light, trying to get closer. So even today, I can tell you, if one of the youth shows up, don't even dare do it. But if you showed up on my doorstep and said, I want to go to, I would be like, sorry, do you know Sean? Sean is, actually, I can give you his address. And Sean's a great guy. And probably he works with youth and would be a way better companion. I would have a list on my phone of all the people they should call. But you know where it does show up? Shows up with a young man that decided in a moment of just being unwise when he smashed my van in my driveway. That takes skill. From the road into my driveway, crashed it, and came to my door in a panic. Because he also knew that the neighbor caught it on camera. But that love had to either, I could have been angry if I could have even woken up, but I'm thankful that the law of love operated, because I could see this kid was panicked. I was able to just say, hey, it's okay. It's okay. Like, we'll deal with it. It's not a end of the world thing, man. It's going to be okay. So I can say I had the law of love in those moments. But I've had other moments where the law of death wanted to come in. And so our goal is to try to walk in the law of love and say, Jesus, right now, I need your love. That's why the prayer today was, Lord, I need more love. I need a baptism of love so I can walk like you. Amen. Why don't you stand? If you want to take a point away, I wrote it three different ways. Christ's love within us should be bring community love to those around us. But I'm like, Lord, that's too hard. Christ's love within us heals deep needs around us, because that's the way it should look. And then I wrote it even simpler. Deep love helps deep needs. So if you want to remember something, deep love helps deep needs. And how many know we live in a world right now where there are deep needs all around us? So we really should. You know when it says to put on the armor of God? I think we should put on the armor of love and the love of God. And when we walk through the door, say, Lord, right now, I need your deep love, because I'm going into a world. I didn't have a chance to get there, but did you know that Jesus or Paul calls us ambassadors? Every day when you leave, everywhere you go, you are his ambassador, and you get to bring deep love that heals deep needs everywhere you go. You are an ambassador. That's why this whole idea of we go to church, no, we are the church. We are ambassadors wherever we go, amen? So Lord, I thank you for your deep love, because there are people that have deep needs. And Lord, as we leave today, I thank you that we put on our ambassadors. We are, another word for ambassador is simply minister. We are ministers. And Lord, wherever we go, I pray that you would help us with deep love, that we can deeply love people and the needs that they have. Lord, we may not be ready to travel to Yosemite with somebody that needs to go, but Lord, every situation we come across, I thank you that love is there for us to help people. And I pray, Lord, as we deeply love people, that people would come to know who that deep love is, Jesus Christ. We thank you for today. We thank you that the sun is shining. We thank you for the health of people. If anybody's sick that we know of, that we love, we just pray, Father God, that you would touch them and heal them. And we pray right now a Father's blessing upon everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.